Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
While Chicago adjusts to working at home, the score is there for you.
I appreciate you guys being there for us to listen to.
Everybody's listening. Kudos to you guys. Keep it going. I'm a loyal score listener. I appreciate it all the time, but more than ever right now with you guys.
We are Chicago's number one sports station, 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago.
The Score!
Molly and Hall.
We're trying to wake Chicago up.
Live at 5 on 670 The Score.
And here they come.
How do you feel about playing games without fans, Molly?
You know, there's a reason that we talk about who has the best fans. What's the toughest building to play in? And the reason is because it affects the result. So you are now talking about no such effect on anyone, be it a home team or an away team. And I think that would be a big impact. I think it would favor the more talented team. And frankly, in baseball in particular, the more talented team doesn't necessarily win.
224 Texter says, Astros would love no fans.
That's actually a great point, David. Think about this. We were looking forward to this baseball season for 1,000 different reasons. One of which was the idea that we had a villain. And by the way, the Red Sox, look at what's happened there too. We had a villain, and we were going to have this sort of moral lesson, and this would play directly into their hands. If they came back without fans, it'd be a great boost for the Astros.
For the Astros, yes. Be very awkward for the rest of us.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall.
Your morning guy over there.
Mornings on The Score.
Your greatest fan, David, has jumped in here and said that he believes you could run a marathon if you ever wanted to. That, of course, Dustin, who thinks you could get 4 sacks. And then
I could get 4 sacks, yeah.
Do you find it at all creepy, the way Dustin views you as an athlete?
You know what? It inspires me. I'm going to do 100 push-ups between the break.
You are the Chris Bryant of sports radio, guys.
Mully Hall.
I'm so fired up.
Here we go.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Oh, it's another day in Chicago. I can't say it's a glorious or wonderful one, David. How are you, buddy?
Morning, Mully. Happy Tuesday. You know, the last day of the month. You know what they say about March? It comes in like a lion. It goes out like a pandemic.
It's the new saying, yeah.
Something like that.
We're here. Have you changed your studio yet again? You've been moving your studio from...
I'm good. You know, I'm ensconced here. It's pretty, you know, you have to stay pretty quiet. The first time I did this, as I talked yesterday, I woke my wife up. So this is the attempt of being as far away from anybody sleeping as possible in our house. So we have a little addition off our sunroom. And so I am in what would amount to be basically an add-on. And it's soundproof, I think. for the most part, the only people I risk waking up are not people, but the dogs. You know, the dogs could wake up, but I think that, yeah. How about you? How are your new digs?
Yeah. I've awakened everyone, apparently, with my yelling yesterday, and I'm trying to be slight. My whole thing is proximity to the utility closet where our internet connection is. So that is kind of the only thing I'm really after. But unfortunately, there were some issues with younger people feeling that they heard some horrible things in the middle of the night, and it wasn't the thunder, it was their old man. So trying
that was
to
only during the breaks.
It's when I run through the house. What happens is I attempt to do the push-up, David, and then the back goes and I scream.
You know, actually, that's a really good way to stay energized during the show. I thought about that after the show. I don't think you could want to do 100 between commercials or during commercials, but I think a good 10 to 20 push-ups during breaks is a good idea.
I mean, something as simple as a jumping jack. You don't really need, I mean, sit-ups would be more preferable as far as I'm concerned to the push-up, but a jumping jack could help, right?
Maybe, but the jumping jack is a little bit still clumsy, and I don't know the last time I did a jumping jack. Sit-ups on a full stomach, not recommended, or even like a coffee-filled stomach, nah. Push-ups anybody can do anywhere.
Yeah, it's a good move. I'm near my little treadmill, so maybe I should just get on that thing while we're talking.
There you go.
That's very loud.
Don't you love it? Yeah. Sometimes when you know you're interviewing somebody on the treadmill, and you can hear them just sort of like panting as in between questions, and you're like, hey, you okay? You're all right?
We have news. We have news for a change, David. We've got NCAA, yes, Division I Council had the big vote yesterday, and it went exactly as we imagined it would be. You were absolutely accurate in terms of the spring sports. Those seasons that were canceled, those athletes will be allowed to come back. It's a complicated situation. The seniors get another year of eligibility. It's an interesting complication, and we'll talk about it because it's left to the schools to decide. So you better be pretty good if you want to keep that scholarship. And the loss of revenue from the NCAA tournament will have an effect on some of these schools. So it's kind of a fascinating thing. But maybe the big headline is what they didn't do, which is extend it to winter sport athletes. And that means that the seniors that missed the NCAA tournament or the juniors that want to come out or whoever it might be, and again, it could be freshmen who want to come out, they will not have an NCAA tournament. They will not be given another year of eligibility.
That will be the takeaway for a lot of people. But as we said yesterday, that was a part of this that never made sense to me. Because those seniors, as much as you feel bad for what they missed out on in March, they did have the bulk of their season, and they did have the bulk of those experiences. And so that was taken away from them, the ending that they always sort of dreamed about. But these spring athletes never got a beginning. And I think that's the bigger, you know, travesty, or that's the biggest, the more pity of about this. This was the right thing to do, but it is a very costly thing, too, in college athletics, because you're going to lose revenue, and now you're going to have increased costs. And let's face it, you know, talking to a couple of people last night after this decision, there's going to be a dynamic between, you know, graduation was the one thing you could always count on, and now you're going to have basically five recruiting classes that coaches are going to have to deal with, mixing and matching and working together.
Yeah, it's something else. And again, they're leaving it to the discretion of the university how much money they will extend. There is a possibility that some of these seniors either wouldn't get, they'd have their eligibility, but they might not have their scholarship because of the amount of money that this is costing the individual schools. So, you know, I'm sure the really top programs and the Power Five programs won't have the same kind of budget restriction as some of the smaller schools, and maybe that's why they're leaving it to the discretion of the university. But it is kind of a complicated formula that each school is going to have to come up with, and it's not a lock that everybody gets to keep their scholarship or even a portion of it, quite frankly. So it's an interesting dynamic that we'll be hearing about.
And frankly, Molly, I don't know, and this was introduced as an idea to me yesterday, too, after this. It's not a lock that every athlete offered this opportunity is going to take it. There are a lot of kids, young men and women that are going to want to move on because, for whatever reason, they're not going to be a professional, sprinter or pitcher or softball player. And they may feel like, all right, I got my free education. I have my diploma. This is not in the way that I wanted it to end. But I'm gonna just take my lumps and graduate and go off into the real world. So there's an element of that too. So this won't affect everybody. It'll affect enough to see a change in problems with the bottom line.
Mark Berman of the New York Post. I don't know if you saw this story, David. Interesting. He locked in guy, NBA guy. He said that the league is determined to have a champion, and that they are exploring a number of creative options to make sure that they get one. So we will have an NBA champion. At least that is the goal.
That's the goal. And we said yesterday and continue to point out, Adam Silver is as creative as they come. But then you do have guys like, again, Jeff Van Gundy coming out and predicting that there will be no NBA season. And you'll have others that will do the same over the course of the next days and weeks. So I still think that Adam Silver, if it is deemed healthy and safe to get together at whatever point it is this summer or spring to get together and compete, he is going to find a way to crown a champion, whether it's finishing the regular season and then going to a compressed playoff format, or even just starting with a tournament like Dustin has suggested. And it's kind of an interesting to consider. Like a tournament, single elimination, and see what happens there. But I think that they will figure out something.
I think Dustin is looking at this strictly through gambling purposes. He didn't get his NCAA tournament, so now he wants an NBA tournament. I would love it if they did have, if the Bulls, were to have an upset in the first round. They're like the 16 seed that knocks off the number one seed. That would be hilarious.
If they go single elimination tournament, don't you want the Bulls to be Valpo? tear through and hit the last second shots and be kind of like Cinderella. That'd be a lot of fun.
I like it. Yeah, that would be hilarious. It'd be fun to see if they could get it done. Our guy Big Z came up with his mock draft as threatened, and he did indeed. He went 50 so that the Bears could get their two picks in. And he got a cornerback and a wide receiver in the second round of the draft. It's pretty interesting the way that it fell for the Bears in Bigsy's mock draft. I didn't see the same number of kind of small school players that I usually expect to see. And I wonder, David, if you think that will have an effect in the draft on some of those guys.
I do think that will be one of the kind of unintended consequences of the way this is structured and not being able to get to these campuses, not being able to visit with these guys in person. And it may be from the Bears standpoint, every cynical Bears fan is going to say, well, good, that'll avoid the temptation to draft an Adam Shaheen again. But you're going to see probably more sure bets being placed on guys from programs that have – you can see on Saturday afternoon or Saturday night in prime time, and you have the tape. And so Big Z goes with a cornerback from Auburn and a wide receiver from USC, two kind of brand name programs, and leave it to Big Z to mock draft a cornerback with the toughest name to pronounce.
Noah.
Igbinoghani. Yeah.
Okay, that's good. I'm glad you looked that one up.
I practiced. But,
I blew it. I knew you would, so I left that to you. Can I just say this, and we'll get into all this stuff, but I thought it was curious, just the way his draft fell, that they went for the corner first and the wide receiver second. Because that kid from Notre Dame, who had the unbelievable, the tight end turned wide receiver, he had an amazing a test at the combine. He did, and I know Dustin is cringing right now at the talk of Underwear Olympics, but he basically went in there and killed the combine. He was one of the winners. I believe they gave him an award for his performance at the combine. Yeah. And this guy is 6'5" and runs like a 4.49. I mean, wouldn't you be better off grabbing a guy like that? And again, I know, you know, you probably have watched him more than I have, but he's a very raw player who is sort of relied on his athletic ability as opposed to being a great route runner or being a, you know, a polished and finished product.
Molly, that's funny you say that, because last night I had the same sort of reaction. I mean, Michael Pittman from USC is a very good, when you look at, you know, DK Metcalf and Chase Claypool, there's some parallels yes. there, and it makes you wonder why. We'll have to talk to Big Z, because I'm curious about right. the Claypool thing.
Yeah, and we'll do that at 6:40. But that jumped out at me, David, when I saw Claypool sitting there when they selected the corner, and then he goes a pick before. I thought to myself, like, shouldn't they reverse that? Shouldn't they make sure they get a player with that kind of speed? And that he's got like a 40-inch vertical, right? A 41-inch vertical or something?
Yeah, 41. I mean, 40.4 and a half, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, he jumped out of the gym. They literally, they're there in the combine, and the kid went right through the ceiling. And he's big, man. He's like a big dude. And you line a guy like that up opposite your big receiver, but he also has some speed. Listen, you know, do you have faith in the Bears teaching a guy how to run a route and how to be a good receiver? And can they afford a season or two of a player like that that might not be? But I mean, you know, see ball, get ball. Hey, run down the field. I don't know how good his hands are. Again, you know, when I watched him, he made plays. So I like that, but when you look at the numbers, it blows your mind.
He's 6'4", 238, and I think that's a big wide receiver, you know. And,
yes.
And the thing is that in Biggs' mock draft, he does have Claypool going 49th to the Steelers. So, you know, maybe it's a case of, you know, him being on the board. And you know this, and we'll talk to Brad. I love this idea of the mock draft starting now because the last day of March. Yeah. But when you're projecting second-round picks at 43 and 50,
it's
very difficult because you just don't know what other people are going to do. And Pittman himself is 6'4", 223, Mully. He runs a 4.5, so Biggs likes the idea of the Bears getting a big wide receiver, kind of in the Allen Robinson mold.
Yeah, and again, lining him up opposite him, it would have an amazing effect. You know, you would get, hopefully, that kind of Khalil Mack Quinn effect, if there is such a thing. It's all projection at this point, but I'm all for it if they could pull it off. The Bleacher Report, not so thrilled with the Bears. Did you see this headline?
Oh, yeah.
The Bears are the NFL's biggest offseason losers so far.
We're going to talk about that at the
really?
5 or 5. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's amusing. Did you see, Molly, did you see the Chase Daniel podcast interviewing Nick Foles?
I heard some of it before we came on.
Yeah.
It was really interesting. Again, you know, I don't know how to feel about this. When people talk about their faith, that seems to really rub people the wrong way. And that is a big part of the story here with Foles. And we'll be talking to Josh Cooley later on in the program. He is the guy that wrote the book with Foles, Believe It. And in the book, there's a lot of his faith is explored, and he talks about different moments in his life that affected him in that fashion. And this guy has written a lot of books about that stuff. So,
and Foles took a class this offseason, a theological studies class at Liberty University, because one day he wants to pursue vocational ministry.
Wow. All right, we got a ton to get into. We're going to be talking about things like guys in the news, like Leo Messi, the great soccer star, Shaquille O'Neal, the great basketball star. He's connected to Tiger King, and he's not thrilled about it. And your guy, Michael Jordan, all of our guy, Michael Jordan. But we'll get into all of it. There's a lot of news. There's a lot to go over. The 5 at 5 is next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 in the score.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
A segment brought to you by Northwestern Athletics. The Wildcats would like to thank all those working throughout the COVID-19 pandemic, including healthcare professionals. Thank you for keeping us safe.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hall. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall starts now.
What do you make of the NCAA Council Coordination Committee voting to extend an extra year of eligibility to spring sport athletes, but not to winter sports, including basketball? Is that a fair and equitable solution? What about leaving it up to schools to determine the distribution of scholarship money?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit unfair in terms of that. You know, what I don't like about this, and I understand why it is this way, but what I do not like is that the school's discretion could turn into this kind of, and it will turn into this sort of meritocracy, where if you like a guy, if he's done well in that sport, you'll back him financially, and if you have made a commitment to somebody, but they're not as good as you thought they were when you recruited them, you'll dump them. And I don't like that element of it. I think that leaving it to the discretion of the school instead of sharing whatever piece of the pie is there, I just don't think it's equitable. I don't think that's a good way of going about it. But I don't know how else you're going to do it. I think the problem is, once again, this favors the hierarchy of college sports. So the teams, the programs with money, you know, I would imagine that Stanford is not going to have a hard time dumping anybody or getting rid of anybody. But I think that some of these smaller schools are going to run into problems. And I worry about that, just in terms of the fairness of it. There are some schools that just don't have the same amount of money as other schools, and I just don't want to see a bunch of championships, even in these kind of sports, won by buying players, which effectively is what could happen here. So that would disturb me about it. I wonder if it is actually fair.
I wonder about how it's going to be executed as well, Mully. I think that when you talk about, you know, increase in scholarships and waivers, and it's understandable why they would do this, and there's a fairness issue in play for the athletes in the spring sports this year that are missing out on those seasons and those opportunities. At the same time, the hope is that when you start to give these athletes, these young men and women, an extra year of eligibility, that it doesn't come at the expense of another program, of another athlete in another sport, because the pie will be smaller to split, and there's not going to be the revenue stream that they're used to having because of the loss of the NCAA tournament, because we don't know moving forward what the new economic model is going to look like. There are universities all over America with athletic programs to finance and fund that are looking at their endowments shrink the way that we're looking at our 401ks shrink and worrying. And as far as, you know, having the schools kind of determine the distribution, cynically, you do wonder about the haves and have-nots and how that's going to go. And when you leave decisions in the hands of coaches or athletic directors, what happens then? Competitive advantages. Look, the recruiting process is dependent on graduation. And I'm fascinated from this standpoint, too, is that you're going to have coaches now trying to integrate five different recruiting classes. You're going to have promises that were made to freshmen who are going to be replacing fifth-year seniors. You're going to have fifth-year seniors that feel a sense of betrayal, because if they're there and they're not as good as the people coming in to replace them, what happens then? There are all sorts of dynamics in play here that college sports will sort out. That'll be the fun of it, but I just hope that nobody loses or is deprived an opportunity because these spring athletes are granted theirs.
Yeah, I mean, initially I thought it good for the student athletes if they want to come back, they have the option. They can move on if they want, or they can come back and try to get their spot back. But Molly, I think you're spot on about this. It's just continuing to grow that, you know, gap between the haves and the have-nots, and extending economic inequality, which is a massive problem, not only in this country but across the world, and you see it widening and widening. I kind of equate this NCAA ruling the same way as the stimulus package that was passed last week. It's just going to continue to give money to billionaires and the people that have all of the money, and all of the massive programs like Ohio State and Michigan and Alabama, who are going to be, they were already at an advantage because of their size and because of their clout, I guess you could say, and now that's going to continue to expand, and this is going to negatively affect smaller programs and schools that don't have as much money. So, nice idea in theory, don't like the execution.
In terms of the eligibility question, this is the way I thought it should play out when we were talking about this a week ago, when we were trying to figure out what the right move would be. I think, you know, extending it to the spring athletes who haven't had a season is the right move. The winter sports, they got a majority of their season in. You know, the basketball tournament didn't happen, and that's unfortunate. But I think as long as you got a season in, I think that's fair, and it's time to move forward. And I totally agree, Molly, with the meritocracy part here that you pointed out. With the scholarship, leaving the scholarship decisions up to the schools, that's just going to create, as you guys all pointed out very well, more of an inequality issue, and that is the part that that leaves a little bit of a bad taste in your mouth from all of this.
Way too much gray area for my liking. I was hoping for a lot more. I was hoping this would be a lot clearer. Hopefully we've got a guest coming on 7:20 who might be able to paint a clearer picture on this whole thing. I also heard a conversation. I caught the tail end with Gary Parrish from CBSSports.com saying that the college basketball coaches were consulted by the athletic directors and they didn't want the extra year of eligibility. Now, I need more context, but if that's just based on what that's ridiculous. College basketball is a revenue generating sport. The reason that swimming and fencing and diving and gymnastics and track and field can go on is because of men's and women's basketball and obviously college football. Here's women's basketball and men's basketball did not have the opportunity to finish the season. So there was no championship declared. I think any sport in college that didn't have a championship declared should be able to be part of this umbrella of the extra year of eligibility. While I'm all for the seniors, and I also think it should be only seniors, I don't like this idea of juniors and sophomores getting an extra year because this year was lost. It should only be for the seniors. All these sports we're talking about are non-revenue generating sports. So they should have let basketball back in because they're the ones who are flipping the bill anyway.
Didn't Bill Self say Kansas is national champion?
He would have lost in the first round. Who's he kidding?
You know, David, that's a great question. Can I ask you a question? I know you're not supposed to answer with a question with a question.
Yeah, that's fine.
I was alerted to this thought the other day.
Bleacher Report posted a story headlined, "The Bears are the NFL's biggest offseason losers so far. Do you agree? If not, who would you say deserve to be ranked lower than the Bears?
I love Thayer. I can't wait to hear Thayer later break down Jimmy Graham. Look, this is piling on. The Bleacher Report, get away. I mean, what are they thinking? You can't objectively look at what the Bears did in this offseason and think that it was the worst in the NFL. Does he not get news out of Houston, whoever wrote this story? The Texans had clearly the worst offseason. Bill O'Brien sabotaged his season by trading his best receiver for nothing. You could look at the Chargers, who have yet to replace Phillip Rivers. For goodness sakes, the Patriots have replaced Tom Brady with Brian Hoyer so far. So I don't know how you conclude that the Bears are the biggest offseason losers. There's other teams that probably would compete for that kind of title. It's not the Bears. I think the Bears, you could make the argument, as we've talked about, have gotten better. Now, I don't like a lot of the money they gave Jimmy Graham or guaranteed it. You can pick, you can find fault with that. You can pick apart some of the other things specifically, but I think overall it's an upgrade to me. And you upgrade your quarterback position, you upgrade your pass rusher, you get some depth on the offensive line, and you shouldn't be done yet. So I think this was this seems like clickbait to me, Mully.
Yeah, I think people have set up and taken notice that the Bears have overpaid everyone. Okay, what do you do in free agency? You overpay. Why you overpaid Jimmy Graham is a mystery to all of us. Maybe it will unfold that he ends up being a pretty good player here. I don't know what to make of it. You paid Robert Quinn like he's in his mid-20s, and he's not. So I understand why people are upset about that. And you went out and you got Foles instead of a different quarterback. And again, I think it might have been a wise move just given the fact that he knows the system. And you're dealing with a head coach that can only run his scheme and won't change it no matter what. So I understand why they made the moves they made, but they made moves that are designed to win now. I don't know what the moves Jacksonville is making. They are basically clearing out everybody known to man, and then they're trying to gather draft picks to build a team around a player they hope to draft a year from now, not this year. So I think Jacksonville, I'm confused by what they're up to. I think you mentioned Houston. Bill O'Brien has retired the trophy for the worst general manager in league history. But they keep winning, right? They still manage to win because they got Deshaun Watson and they overpaid for Laremy Tunsil and they've let people go that are valuable players, but including their best receiver. But if they win, if they actually make it to the playoffs again and win a playoff game, how can they be the worst team? So I think that even as we look at how awful some of those moves are, you got to ask yourself, are they going to wind up in the playoffs? And what is it? What's the measuring stick here? So I'm going to go with Jacksonville because I don't think there's any way they're going to wind up in the playoffs. And I think that they have systematically taken apart a team that looked like a pretty good team at one point. Kevin, you can play your favorite soundbite if you want. I think that is worse than what the Bears have done. The Bears, they haven't covered themselves in glory, but they're trying to win.
I think the Bears are in the conversation, certainly, along yeah. with Houston and Jacksonville, like you just mentioned there, Mully. The difference with Houston is that, I like Deshaun Watson, and I like Laremy Tunsil a lot, in fact. But let's see what they do in a season without DeAndre Hopkins there, because yes, you're right, they have right. been in the playoffs consistently every single year, and the quarterback play that they get there is great, and they usually have some playmakers on the front seven as well when they're healthy. But let's see what Deshaun Watson does now in a full season without arguably the best receiver in the league. I mean, you can certainly put him in the conversation no lower than top what, three or four. So let's you know, step back a little bit and see what Houston does without that security blanket and having it an all-world wideout there available to fall back on. I think Houston has to definitely be in the conversation, along with Jacksonville, except with the Jaguars, you can kind of see what they're doing. It's kind of a tanky rebuild, tank for Trevor Lawrence sort of operation, and you could at least see the method to that madness. But I think you have to put the Bears in the conversation. It's Jacksonville, Houston, and Chicago for me.
The Bears are in the conversation because their offseason moves, most of them are kind of questionable. You start off with the most important position. You needed to bring in a quarterback to compete with Mitchell Trubisky, but then you pick Nick Foles and you trade a fourth-round draft pick. Who are the Bears bidding against? That's the biggest question. Did they overbid there? Mm-hmm. Possibly. And then they need the O-line help, and they bring in Ifedi, and he is a penalty machine. So that's not great, but maybe he could work on that. And then you need improvement at the tight end position because Trey Burton is not healthy, and you bring in an old tight end, and you grossly overpay him in Jimmy Graham. So there's a lot that you can question there with the Bears, but, I mean, come on. The Texans are taking the cake here, David, as you pointed out. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins, you get rid of DeAndre Hopkins, and you bring in an old running back? Come on now.
With a big contract. With a big contract.
Bill O'Brien is the biggest loser out of this.
Is there a clunkier website than the Bleacher Report? I know that's not the question right now, but trying to get a little
I was just saying the same background thing to Ray. I'm like, how do I even navigate this hellhole?
It's just there's some good people working there, like that I follow on Twitter. But it to find the story that David is referencing, I've been doing that since the start of 5 at 5, and I still can't get there. So based on what? If it's just the overpaying of Jimmy Graham, that's ridiculous. Let's see what happens. Let's see what the change. I mean, it's a slam dunk, no doubt about it. It's the Houston Texans. You're talking about a Hall of Fame wide receiver because Bill O'Brien doesn't get along with him. Or Bill O'Brien knows he's going to have... I mean, would you rather... Now all of a sudden they're going to pay Tunsil? They're going to make Tunsil the highest paid offensive lineman in football? Why wouldn't you make Jimmy... Why wouldn't you make... Not Jimmy Graham. Why wouldn't you make that wide receiver the highest paid wide receiver in all of football, period? He's excellent. He's a Hall of Famer. It's absurd. The Bleacher Report can pound sand.
It's a good question, David.
What did you think of Brad Biggs' mock draft, which had the Bears taking a cornerback and a wide receiver in the second round of the draft? Would you advocate a trade down for more picks or even, God forbid, a trade up for another first-rounder that you could eventually cut?
That's just mean-spirited. I mean, there's no way around it, but maybe you throw that into the mix when you look at the Bears' offseason. They did cut another first-rounder, so maybe... That's one of the things Bleacher Report was weighing with Leonard Floyd. And did you effectively try to cut Mitchell Trubisky because you brought in a potential replacement? So I think you look at those drafts when you're weighing these things. I think you keep these picks. I think you keep these picks because if you wind up with the two players that Biggsy had, you end up with a pretty damn good draft. And I think that, what I didn't like about it is he had ten wide receivers going before the Bears take one, and they could have gotten one at 43. I like the Auburn corner. He is a good player. I'm not saying that he can't play. He is not known. He was a wide receiver. He started his career as a wide receiver. He is not known as a turnover guy, as someone that creates a ton of turnover. So... is it possible that you could switch things around a little and take Chase Claypool at 43 and instead of waiting on Michael Pittman Jr.? And I don't know how big the difference is there, but I think one guy could be kind of a complete breakout player. And if you did that, you might end up with Jalen Johnson, who he had going 44th. If you pass on the kid from Auburn, maybe you get this kid from Utah. And again, I know Utah doesn't play in the SEC, but the kid had 7 picks, and a couple of them returned for a touchdown. So I like the idea that if you can get a guy that will get the ball a little bit, and if you had a wide receiver and then you doubled back and still managed to get a pretty good corner, that would be, I think, a better idea maybe than doing it the other way around. But either way, I think you wind up with a couple of good players. As much as they need draft picks, hold your water and do not trade up. It's just frightening to see the way this guy goes about his job because you wind up in the situation you're in now where you don't have any picks and you need things. So stay and try to take the best players.
You're going to get two guys in your second round picks that are going to be day one starters potentially. I think that's what you're looking for in day one contributors. They don't have to start, but I think they're impact guys right away. I like the cornerback idea. That's fine. I mean, if they get a cornerback that's ready to play day one, and some people maybe have a first round grade on him, terrific. I mean, in Noah Igbinoghane, and that's the Auburn cornerback that Bigsy has going to the Bears, he's pure speed. He's the fastest cornerback in the SEC. You don't see the turnovers. You don't see the takeaways. Maybe speed translates well in the, as well as anything in the NFL, as we've seen. Does he have the instincts? I don't know, but that will be what will be critiqued probably first and most intensely if he comes to the Bears. With Michael Pittman Jr. As a projected wide receiver to the Bears at 50, as you point out, Chase Claypool is another guy that kind of fits that mold. You want explosive, you want big, you want guys to score touchdowns. I get that. But, Molly, when I look at the second round two picks, I would not trade up. I would keep them. I'm still going to cling to this idea that when things were going right for this Bears offense, when they go right in their heads, the way that it's supposed to work by design, you can scheme guys open. And they have done that. They did that in the first season under Matt Nagy. They didn't do it last year. I just don't know at that point if you're of an offensive lineman that's highly rated and you could envision starting from the beginning, from the outset, and maybe developing into a starter. If he's there, that's going to be hard to resist because of the way that you want to build your football team. The other thing is that in Biggs, and I'm looking forward to talking to him at 640, if Cole Kmet, the Notre Dame tight end, isn't going in the first two rounds, isn't that a pretty steep drop? I thought that he would be kind of on the board. I didn't see him in those first two rounds, and that's a need position for the Bears still, even though they got a 33-year-old overpaid tight end from the Packers. But keep your picks. Find your guys. But this is fun because this is the first look at Biggs' mock draft, and we only have another 3 weeks to kind of dissect it.
If Alex Bars was in this draft, where do you think he would be projected to go? No? Okay. I like the idea of a cornerback, certainly. I think not only in Brad's mock, but some of the other ones that I've looked at, most prognosticators and pundits have the Bears taking a corner or a safety with their first couple of picks, which I think is great. I think that they are a little short there. You've seen some kind of bargain basement signings that they've attempted this offseason to fill the void of Prince Amukamara and HaHa Clinton Dix, so I think they absolutely need to address the safety. I might even put that as their number one priority in the draft. Wouldn't trade down, wouldn't trade up. I would sit chilly, take the best player available at a position of need, whether that is corner or wideout or even offensive lineman, because there's a couple good ones of those in the draft as well.
If we walk away from draft day and the result is what our guy Biggs has laid out here, a corner, a wide receiver, those are positions that the Bears absolutely need. So I'd be happy with it. Particularly wide receiver, you need to add some depth alongside your best and most dependable player on the team, Allen Robinson, to that wide receiver position. So I'd be happy with it. I would not trade up. Not whatsoever. Ryan Pace, please. I'm pleading right now at 5:47 here on March 31st. Don't do it. I know you're going to be tempted to do it, but you can't afford to spend any more draft capital. It's been happening for years. Please just stand pat and take go with what you got.
I don't like the idea of trading up or trading down. I totally understand what Biggs was doing in his mock draft, but I would say this defense should be pretty set right now. A lot of the free agent, they picked up a handful of guys, castaways, if you want to put it that way, to play the secondary. So I don't know if cornerback, and Mully, did you say that there were five or six other cornerbacks that went before this guy from Auburn?
In Bigsy's draft, there was six that went before this guy.
Okay, so now presumably, we're around
the first 44 picks. Yeah.
Right, so we're around the seventh or eighth best cornerback in the draft going to the Bears. I just think you've taken a lot of the best, and they're gone. Like offensive line, there's going to be this big run of offensive linemen. So why not get the best guy at a position of need. I'm actually going to agree sort of with Kevin here, but I'm so tired of the anti-Notre Dame thing going on this show for the most part. This is Biggs being anti-Notre Dame. It's Kevin being anti-Notre Dame. The Bears have maybe put a Band-Aid on the tight end position. If Komet is the best tight end in the draft, they definitely, with one of those two second-round picks, need to address that position because he's the best in the draft at a position of need. I also agree with safety, especially a box safety. Everybody take a drink. A box safety, if the best box safety or the second-best box safety is available in the draft, then go get him. Get the best players at a position of need.
But we have to talk about that because here's the thing. You know, it's the value of the position, too. You know, you could, Dustin, you could take the best long snapper in the draft, but that's not going to get you to the Super Bowl, right?
Well, so I think long snapper and box safety or tight end are two different things.
Okay, a corner is a hell of a lot more valuable than a box safety. You can get a box safety later on in the draft. What you can't find is a guy with the athletic ability, a guy with the kind of meanness that David, can you help me?
Igbinoghani.
Hey, listen, it's 6:40. I can't wait for Biggs to sell me on this guy. That's what I'm looking for.
But what I'm saying is, buddy, you have to remember the value of the position, and you know, you can a tight end. He's the best tight end, but it's not a great class. He's the only tight end. So I think that the wide receiver class is considered one of the best in league history. That's how good it is. And if you can get a guy that is measuring off the charts, switching from tight end to wide receiver, potentially a number one wide receiver, how do you not take him?
I'm going to say this. Komet is going to have a bigger impact in the NFL than Ozuk Katut, who he can't pronounce his last name from Auburn. I'm just going to go on record with that.
And Molly, the question I would have, and then we can get to this later, but like on Monday morning when we come in after the Bears draft, if they get Cole Komet and he is the first tight end taken, that'd be hard to criticize, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I don't think I would, but I'm just saying that to me it's the value of the position, and you're right, the position is very valued in this by this offensive coordinator and in his scheme, so you got to have that position. But I think that, you know, again, score a touchdown, stop a touchdown. You're more likely to stop a touchdown with a corner. It's one of the value positions in the NFL, and wide receiver is going to score you a touchdown. Huge, huge position to have.
I mean, that's a pretty general question.
There are three former number one overall picks currently out of work in the NFL, Cam Newton, Jadeveon Clowney, and Jameis Winston. If you could give one of the three to the Bears, who would it be and why?
Well, neither one of the quarterbacks, because just you don't want to ever say the Bears are set at quarterback, because those are words that will come back historically to be proven untrue at any point in time in the last, 50 years. So if I were going to look at Winston, doesn't make sense. Newton, for reasons we've talked about, doesn't make sense. It's the pass rusher. You know, it's the pass rusher, Clowney. I don't know what his price is. It's probably more expensive than the Bears have room or are willing to pay or able to pay. But when you talk about value positions, you know, you're talking about your quarterback and then the guy that gets to the quarterback. And if Clowney would come to the Bears on a bargain basement price, and the question is, which one would you gift to the Bears?
Right.
Clearly, he is the one who could make a huge impact. And frankly, whatever team he ends up with, I think because of the way free agency has unfolded, he is going to make a huge impact on that team, because he's going to report to camp whenever he gets there in a bad mood.
It's extraordinary that we are at this stage of free agency and there are three number one overall picks just sitting there, right? I think the injury issue with Newton would stop me cold, and I wouldn't trust anything I saw on video. I'm with you on Clowney. I think Clowney could do unbelievable things here. I think he's got tons of talent. It's just sometimes it's been difficult to tap into that, but I think he would be awful good, and he would be the guy you'd pick. But let me just say this about Jameis Winston, I understand where you're at with it. But if you're gifting a player, wouldn't you want him as the third quarterback as opposed to Tyler Bray? I mean, wouldn't what would be wrong with taking that guy trying to heal him, trying to teach him your system, and then seeing what he can do. And by healing him, I mean stopping the turnovers, because that's the problem with that guy. The winner of this lottery is clearly Clowney, but if you could get a former number one overall pick at quarterback and work with him for a year, who knows where that would end up? We would not be talking about the future of the quarterback position.
Well, I think if, you know, I'm forced to pick between these two quarterbacks, I'll take the one that's been a league MVP and not the one that threw 30 touchdowns. Or, excuse me, he did throw 30 touchdowns, but also 30 interceptions last season with numerous off-field and scummy incidents on his resume.
MVP, the league MVP's injured, man. He's hurt. He didn't mean play.
I would rather take Cam Newton on one leg than Jameis Winston. This guy is a total piece of trash. I don't want him anywhere near the city of Chicago, let alone playing for the Bears. So wow. Obviously Clowney is number one here. He's still a very good player. Number two, I would put Cam Newton if they're ranking him, a fan of him, but he's got a lot to prove to get over these injuries. And Jameis Winston, even though he's technically third on my list, he's actually 10th. I'm going to invent other people to put in front of him that are also out on the free agent market, including maybe Alex Barrs at some point.
I agree with the conversation, you know, with Clowney. You can never have enough pass rushers, but you'd be strengthening a strength, and you have this glaring, you know, need at quarterback. So I would go with one of the quarterbacks. Look, I agree with Kevin in terms of the person that Jameis Winston is, but I do agree with the thinking that, okay, you know, you look at the health issues with Cam Newton, there is something that could potentially be fixed with Winston. You might be able to work on all of those interceptions he throws and refine him, potentially, maybe, but, you know, he's not a good person. Bad guy, though.
I was not on the Winston bandwagon when this question started, but I'm kind of coming along that way as you guys talk it out. But could you imagine if we all agree that this team is built to win right now, and the strength of this team is the defensive side of the ball? Forget about the money, if we can. I don't know if we're allowed to, but forget about the money. Could you imagine in obvious pass rushing situations adding Clowney to the mix?
He'd be the second best pass rusher behind Mac immediately.
Right. Right. I'm just saying, could you imagine adding him to that mix? That would be unbelievable.
Oh,
how
God.
Could you stop that? I mean, how as a quarterback would you not need a pair of Depends underneath your jock strap? I mean, that would be absolutely frightening. Absolutely frightening. That's how bad that would be unbelievable. Again, I know the quarterback position is still up in the air for the Bears, but if we're talking about this year and money's not an issue, I think this is a slam dunk. Go get that pass rusher. Who would be able to block that? Who would be able to match up against that pass rush? Nobody.
It'd make the Niners look like bums.
That's a great question, Steph, and that's what we deal with on a daily basis when we sit down in the Situation Room at the White House every day to go over that.
If MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred keeps an open mind and is willing to view a truncated 2020 season as an opportunity to try different things, what innovations would you like to see the most? Expanded playoff field, universal DH, 7-inning doubleheaders, or something else?
Okay, so this is difficult for me because I'm not supposed to answer this question like this. I'm supposed to say that they should try, the universal DH or the 7-inning doubleheaders or the expanded playoff. I don't want that. I want baseball. I want baseball the way that I watch baseball and have watched baseball. I don't want to see a universal DH. I like the difference between the two leagues. Expand the playoff field? Why water things down any more than they are? The beauty of baseball is that at the end of the year, I get it. I understand how good the wild card game has been and all that other stuff, and you've added excitement, and we got to keep the game alive. But I hate the idea that you're going to make some changes. 7-inning doubleheaders? What are we, playing grammar school baseball? Give me a break. No, I want to see proper baseball played the way that it always has been played, and I want to see it now.
Well, while you're on your porch swing sipping lemonade waiting for the old game to return,
that's right.
I'm going to tell you, tradition is gone, and you don't want traditional
baseball when you come back. You need something excitement. You need some excitement that's going to hold people's attention. You need something that people are going to, even though look at this, it's going to be a shortened season. It's got to be intense, and I'm all for all this stuff. This is the time to do it. If you're trying to, you're not going to get 162 games. You're not going to get the sanctity of baseball that everybody, you know, wants to return to at one point in time. And maybe next year we can. But try the expanded playoff field. Try the universal DH. I would be for expanding interleague play. I know Dustin wants to eliminate interleague play, but it's the idea of if geographically it makes sense to play for the Cubs to play the Royals or the Cubs to play other teams that are close or the White Sox to play the Cardinals, do it. Have an open mind.
That I would agree with, David. That's a good
tinker,
idea.
Tinker,
I,
tinker.
Yes, that's a good idea.
I mean, why, just because the season is going to be abbreviated or truncated, why do we have to, you know, turn this into a Frankenstein operation now?
Yes.
Like, we got to try all these stupid gimmicks and all these schemes just because the season might be shortened by a little bit. Seven-inning doubleheaders, that makes me want to throw up all over the studio, which still looks like it hasn't been cleaned properly. Universal DH, you can keep that as well. I like one league having it and one league not having it. And a playoff field I could maybe get behind, but and then I thought about it a little bit farther. I don't even really like the double wild card situation. I don't think that there should be more teams in the playoffs. If I had to pick one of these horrible options, that would be the one I would go with. But I don't think you need to turn this season into a guinea pig or a science experiment just because they're going to have to cut it in half or however much they have to abbreviate it.
I'm not on board with the expanded playoff, but we'll see how long this layoff goes. Maybe I'll change my mind. Universal DH, I'm a fan of the National League, but if we're going to talk about innovations and things that can improve the game and make it go, I'll go with the Universal DH and give it a try. And seven-inning doubleheaders, sure, because you're talking about speeding up the game. Speeding up the game, you're going to try and do doubleheaders regardless. We don't need to be sitting for hours upon hours through all these doubleheaders.
I know we're
baseball deprived right now, but we're also talking about last season we were complaining about how long the game is.
Thank you,
Ray. Why don't you play three games, make them three innings each? That'd be great.
Yeah, why stop there?
I'm actually, believe it or not, I'm going to agree with Mully. I want baseball. I want that the same. I definitely don't want seven-inning doubleheaders. I mean, the next thing will be if it's a right-handed hitter, then right field will be out. And if it's a left-handed hitter, then left field will be out. We'll play with less guys so these guys don't get all tired and exhausted. Here's one thing. This is an old idea that I know a lot of people didn't like, that I was kind of, I'd like to see it. This would work because of what's going on. If a game does happen to go to extra innings, how about the idea of trying out the runner on second base if it goes to extra innings? Just a little tinker might speed up the game so we don't get a 17 or 18 inning game, something like that.
I was about to offer you a lemonade here on the front porch, but...
Until then.
How's the porch swing at this hour? Is it working?
Does it
creak
at
6 a.m.?
6 feet apart? Can we sit 6 feet apart on the front porch?
Petrin Farm remembers.
Thank you, Norman Rockwell.
312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.